Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay and you are fully blessed. You may be seated. Thank you. Hey, good words, eh? Good words. You know, I think about some of the songs I used to sing in the AOG, in the Pentecostal churches. All this rock and roll stuff. And if you go into their songs, the words of song, a lot of people don't think about the lyrics in those songs. They think, oh, the words are okay. It's just the music might be rock and roll. See, 95 times out of 100, they're full of heresy. They're full of heresy. As you read through the words or the lyrics of the song, you'll find they're all about me. About me. Self. How I'm so good that God just can't do without me. That's what they promote. They do not promote salvation in the true sense. There's no repentance. There's no conviction. There's none of that in their songs. Some of them there is, but most of them, 95% of their songs aren't. Their lyrics are full of heresy. And I've actually done a study on quite a lot of their songs. People send me the words of the song, say, oh, what's wrong with this? You go through it. If you've been read up on your Bible and understand Scripture, you can pick up the heresies. And I'm going to be talking about this tonight, a little bit, all right? Tonight is, my message is part two of Proverbs. Wow, I'm going to preach some of your Scriptures again. Lachlan? Lachlan came with his message the other night and it had half my Scriptures in it. And I've got half ears tonight, so here we go. God might be trying to say something to us folks, my friends, because there's certain Scriptures have been coming up. And a young bloke, well not a young bloke, but a person sent me an email last night. He's from a church down in Melbourne. He wrote to me about 2 years ago looking for a church. He wrote to David Cloud, and David Cloud sued him on to me. And we had a bit of a talk. And he's joined with this church in Melbourne. And a couple of weeks ago, he preached his first sermon, his first message. So like you, Lachlan, first go. So I wrote back and encouraged him this morning. He's having a go. And you can see he's been diligent to study the Word, and he's presented a good message. So I encouraged him, all right? But he had some of my Scriptures in there too. Same ones. Keep coming up. You think the Bible's only got 6 pages in it, but it hasn't. It's got a heap. All right, here we go. I want you to turn with me tonight, please, to Proverbs chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at verses 7 to 33. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 to 33. Here we go. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and ask him to bless the service. Eh? Thank you, Lord, for this time of looking into your word. We thank you, Lord, for your Bible. The Bible you gave us to read and understand what you want us to do, Lord, how to lead our lives to please you. We pray, Lord, tonight as we look at this wonderful book, the book of Proverbs, that you will instruct us, Lord, and help us to come to an understanding and a knowledge and how to interpret your word correctly, Lord. We desire in our hearts not to be led astray by our own hearts, Lord, our own wicked hearts, the imaginations that come from that. But we want to be led, Lord, by your Holy Spirit interpreting the Scriptures properly for us, Lord. So just bless these people for coming out. Help me, Lord, as I present the message, and help the people as they listen. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, before we consider what it is that God wants to teach us from the book of Proverbs, perhaps we should consider what is required of each of us in order that we might be able to understand and rightly interpret these wise sayings. We should give attention to what it is we need to do, what part we need to play, in order that we might even begin to understand what God is saying to us in the first place. There's things we need to do. And Scripture makes it plain to us that there actually are a number of things that we need to make sure of before any kind of understanding or right interpretation of the Scriptures can take place. Not just in the book of Proverbs, but all of Scripture. As with the rest of Scripture, all of Scripture, the spiritual truth of the book of Proverbs are not to be understood in just simple academic terms. And despite a multitude of liberal religious institutions and Bible colleges that prospective Bible teachers and pastors might choose to attend in order to learn of these things academically, many end up like the silly women of 2 Timothy 3:7 who were ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. So you can be learning, but not able to come to a knowledge of the truth. As we've already stated, the student of the book of Proverbs, or any other book in the Bible for that matter, must first meet certain requirements if he or she intends to come to a proper understanding and interpretation of what is being taught. So, I've got some points. Firstly, the most important requirement that must be met by anyone in order to rightly interpret Proverbs is that they must have been truly born again of the Spirit of God. Step number one. Alright? They must have a testimony of having heard and understood the message of the gospel of salvation, and having been convicted of their sin and its penalty, of having repented and called upon the Lord to forgive them and rescue them, of having made the conscious decision to forsake the enticements of their former lifestyle, and of having professed that they now follow Jesus as one of his disciples. In other words, they must have been genuinely converted and saved. All right? In the first verse of our opening scripture tonight, we read that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9:10 puts it this way: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Psalm 111 verse 10 also reminds us of this very important truth, where we are told that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. Do his commandments. Godly spiritual wisdom requires a fear of the Lord. However, there is no fear of the Lord before the eyes of the unsaved, or the sinner's eyes, it says in Scripture. We're told that in the book of Romans. There is no fear of the Lord before the unsaved sinner's eyes. Romans 3:13-18 says, their throat is an open sepulchre, and with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear before their eyes. That's unsaved people, all right? It is only through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we learn to fear the Lord. We learn to fear the Lord through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As well as that, however, apart from being born again of the Spirit of God, apart from salvation, the unsaved do not have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling in them, enlightening them and leading them into truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you'd like to turn to that, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 12, verses 12 to 16, explain that for us. Now, you've heard us preached here before this scripture, but it explains what God tells you about people that aren't saved, trying to understand scripture. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 to 16, says this. Now, we have received, that's we, the saved, Paul's talking to us, right? Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them or understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he, that is, that God may instruct him? And then it says, but we have the mind of Christ. God can instruct us, but he can't instruct the unsaved, because he doesn't have the mind of Christ, all right? Who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him in his word? Us. We have the mind of Christ. So Paul answers the question for us. The natural man mentioned in verse 24 is the unsaved man. The unsaved, spiritually dead person is unable to understand the things of God because they are spiritually understood by the illumination of the Holy Spirit. The spiritual man, the Christian in other words, do understand these things though, because the Holy Spirit took up residence in them when they heard the gospel and when they repented and committed themselves to following Christ, when they got saved. When we get saved, what happens? The Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in us. Verse 16 asks the question, who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Who hath known the mind of the Lord that God may instruct him? The question asks, what person is it who can understand the mind of God so that God can instruct that person in God's ways and in God's knowledge and God's wisdom? The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, provides the answer to that question. Verse 16 closes with the statement, but we, the Christians, have the mind of Christ. Who is it that knows the mind of the Lord? It's we. It's we, the spiritually born-again Christians, who can know the mind of the Lord so we can be instructed by the Holy Ghost, who teaches us to compare spiritual things with spiritual. The unsaved man can only understand things academically or by the spirit of this world. And therefore, he is unable to understand the spiritual truths which God wants to teach us from his word. Now, that's important to understand. That's why we've got so much problem in theological colleges around the world today, because half the people that go to them haven't been born again. They're not even Christians to start with. They go to these massive institutions and pay thousands of dollars to become pastors and priests and whatever, and they're not born again. They cannot understand the Word of God. Is that what the Scriptures say? You can see that in the Scriptures? That's the answer to the question, what's going on here? Why are these people teaching such rubbish from the pulpit? Because they haven't been born again. They can't understand the Word of God scripturally, all right, spiritually. And a caution here. Students of the book of Proverbs must know for sure that they have truly been born again and that they are not simply nominal Christians. They must ensure that they have genuinely put their trust in Jesus in such a manner that their lives have been changed and that they have the indwelling Holy Spirit. It is not enough to just go through the motions of attending church because your parents do, and they are made to attend themselves, all right? So it's not about that. You've got to come to church because you've been born again. They might look good to some people in the church, but it won't get past the Lord, who knows the heart and mind of every person on the planet, and it also won't get past mature Christians in the church who exercise a bit of spiritual discernment, all right? It shows. It shows. All right, in Matthew 3 and verse 8, John the Baptist describes for us what is supposed to happen to a person who has been truly born again. He said that we are to bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. In other words, there should be some evidence that the person actually is genuine about wanting to be saved and not just putting on an outward show. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, behold all things are become new. If there haven't been changes in a person's life, maybe they haven't been really saved in the first place. You see? So, it says there, if any man be in Christ, you got saved, you're a new person, old things are passed away. Okay? Now, when I got saved, I was a reprobate. Proper good one in Weeper with all me drunken mates, all right? Now, if I was still running around getting drunk, swearing like a trooper, and doing all sorts of other horrible things I won't mention, how could I say that I was saved? You're supposed to show fruit in your life that you truly have been saved. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All that stuff passed. It went within, didn't go suddenly overnight. Took a while. But sanctification takes time. God washed me up, cleansed me up, got me going, all right? He says, behold, all things have become new. And if I was still doing what I was doing 35, 36 years ago, you'd say, that bloke needs to be kicked out of the church. Get him out. What's he standing up there telling us what to do? And he was drunk yesterday, I saw him. Anyhow, secondly, to rightly interpret and understand what God wants to teach us through the book of Proverbs, we must have a desire to obey God. Unless we are spiritually prepared to be obedient to what God tells us, we won't understand very much of God's word. It clearly demonstrated through the scriptures that a willingness to obey God's word is essential. Jesus made an amazing promise in John 7:17 to those who would commit to him and obey his teachings and follow him. He said to them, he said about them, if any man will do his will, that's God's will, he will know the doctrine. He will know the doctrine, whether it be of God. So, we will understand the doctrine, that whether it's of God or of the world. We'll be able to discern that. If any man will do God's will, listen to what God teaches you and do it, he says he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God. Obedience to what the Bible teaches leads it to increased spiritual knowledge and understanding of biblical doctrines. As God sheds light from his word on the pathway before us, we are to continue to walk out into it, expecting the light to increase. Someone once said that the Holy Spirit teaches the serious, not the curious. The Holy Spirit teaches the serious, not the curious. Spiritual understanding and the resulting blessing in life don't come to just the curious, but to those who are serious about obeying what God's word teaches. It comes to those who do not only hear God's instruction, but to those who also take heed to the instructions and do them. We're to be doers of the word. Proverbs 1:5 puts it like this. Proverbs 1 and verse 5, it says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. And in verse 33 of chapter 1 of Proverbs, it says, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Okay? As we hearken unto God and do what he tells us to do, he says we will dwell in safety from fear of evil. In the New Testament, this truth about both hearing and doing what God instructs us from his word was noted by the Apostle Paul when he wrote in Romans 2:13, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the Lord shall be justified. Not hearing the word of God, we've got to do it. And we will be justified. If we don't do it, we won't be justified. So that says, doesn't it? The opposite is true. If we don't do what God's word says, we won't be justified. There's a very interesting piece of scripture in Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verses 30 to 32. Where God is speaking to the prophet and revealing to him the true condition of the hearts of the people who came and sat before him, looking for all the world that they, like they were genuinely seeking to hear and do the words of God that God gave Ezekiel to speak. But God, who knows the real heart condition of man, reveals some shocking things to Ezekiel about these seemingly God-fearing people. Now, a bit over 3 years ago on a Sunday night service, I preached a message on this portion of scripture from Ezekiel 33, verses 30 to 32, about these people. God was telling Ezekiel, oh, you think all these people come and sitting before you think you're great and all that? He said, but they only come in because they think you can preach good and you've got a nice voice like a singer. He said, but when they go home, they don't do what you told them to do. They don't take any notice of you. So that's in Ezekiel 33 and verse 30 to 32. And I did a message on that about 3 or 4 years ago, in a night service like tonight. Does anyone remember it? It was called A Very Lovely Song and a Pleasant Voice. Anyone remember it? If you remember that message, put your hand up. If you remember that message. You don't? Don't remember it? All right. I'm going to preach it next Sunday. Praise the Lord. You forgot a message. I've got a message already prepared for next Sunday morning in that case. You know, I said to Colleen, we like to watch some shows on the TV, like documentaries. And we're getting a bit forgetful, you see. I said, it'll be good when we totally forget whether we've watched them before, because we'll be able to watch all the old stuff. And we'll enjoy it. So maybe I'll bring one of my old messages next Sunday. You've never heard it before. I'll get away with not having to prepare a new message, Andy. I'm one step ahead of you, all right? I'm ready for next Sunday already. Praise the Lord. Anyhow, here's what God told the prophet in Ezekiel. Actually, you might like to turn there. Turn to Ezekiel 33, chapter 33, please, and we'll have a look at this. You might remember it when you read the scripture. Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 30 to 32. Here's what God told Ezekiel. He said, "Also thou, son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what it is that word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee, as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them." Wow. "For with their mouth they show much love, but with their heart," or their heart, "goeth after their covetousness. And lo," this is what he told Ezekiel, "and lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not." Wow, what a shock Ezekiel must have got. I thought they're all very strong Christians, this mob. God show you. No, they don't do it when they go home. They just live for the world again. To them, you're like a lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. So, next Sunday I'll preach a message on that. Look forward to it, eh? Look forward to it. It's a good message. It's a good message, but you forgot it. But only a few people come on the Sunday night. See, I did a lot of preaching on Sunday night, not during the morning service. So a lot of people heard me preach on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night when there was only a small crowd. So Sunday morning there's a bigger crowd. So I'll be able to preach that message, and a lot of people would never have heard it before. Is that okay? It'd be like boiling me cabbage twice, but we'll get away with it, I think. Okay, the preaching was entertaining to those people. They thought the message was good and Ezekiel was a good preacher, but that's as far as it went. They had no intentions of applying to their life circumstances what God was telling them through the preaching. In one ear and out the other, in other words. Those kind of people are not going to understand the book of Proverbs, my friends. God sheds light for them, but they prefer to walk in darkness. They hear God's words, but they are not willing to do them. Back in the New Testament, we read in the book of James, the very same exhortation from God to not only hear what he's saying, but to also do what he's saying. If you'd like to turn to James, please. James chapter 1. But we need to read the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? James chapter 1 talks about this hearing and not doing. James chapter 1, verses 21 to 24 says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." The engrafted word is able to save our souls, my friend. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." So we must be doers. If we are not willing to obey what God instructs us through his word, then we shouldn't be at all surprised that the book of Proverbs, as well as everything else in Scripture, is nothing but gobbledygook. And we can't make head or tail of what is being taught and what we're reading, if we're not willing to obey God. All right? That was the second point. Third point. Thirdly, to rightly interpret and understand what God wants to teach us through the book of Proverbs, we are not to simply read Proverbs like we would a storybook, but we are required to diligently study and meditate upon what we read. 2 Timothy 2:15, the apostle instructs Timothy, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, "a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That only comes with study. To arrive at a place of right interpretation and understanding what God's word is communicating to us, we need to do a bit of study. We need to do a bit of study. Not just read it. Study. Approval as a workman of God comes from digging out the truth of his word. That takes a bit of time and effort. Many people use the structured yearly Bible reading program. I'm going to talk about that. The yearly Bible reading program. And I'm glad they do. But the goal of the plan is not to prove to ourselves or to everyone else that we've read the Bible right through from beginning to end in one year. That's not the purpose of the plan. I'm all for yearly Bible reading plans, and I use one myself. and have done for years. But it's not much point reading the Bible from beginning to end if at the end of the year we haven't worked out what it is that God wants to say to us through the Bible. The Bible is not an academic book that we read like a novel or a newspaper. And it's not a book that we can speed read if we want to hear God's voice speaking to us through it. It is a spiritual book that requires prayerful consideration so that the Holy Spirit can speak to us from what we read. Is that right? That's right, eh? Reading God's Word in a hurry will not result in the type of understanding that converts into knowledge and wisdom. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, the Word of God is quick, alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is quick. In other words, it is alive and it can discern what we are thinking in our minds and what the intentions of our deceitful and desperately wicked hearts are. Now, I listened in amazement here one night as a visiting missionary boasted to us about how already in the current year he had systematically read through the entire Bible from beginning to end 6 or 8 times, and he was aiming to do more. Already in 1 year, and it was only halfway through the year, he boasted from the pulpit here that he had read through the Bible, systematic from beginning to end, I just remember how many times, I think it was 8, but I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, 6 or 8 times. And he was going to do more, he told us. I'm going to read it through more and more and more. He included in that tally whatever amount of time he spent listening to an audio Bible on his iPad as he was flying around on aeroplanes from place to place. A yearly Bible reading plan is great for keeping us committed to praying and reading the Bible each day. But it's not for the purpose of just proving to ourselves that we can reach a goal. We need to be seeking to hear God speak, hearkening unto the voice of His Word, as we are encouraged to do in Psalm 103 and verse 20. We need to be studying, reading it, meditating on it, so listening for God's Word to speak to us. And in Psalm 103 and verse 20, it says, hearkening, we are to hearken unto the voice of His Word. The voice of God's Word. I did a message on that too. You remember that one? The voice of God's Word. Oh, you remember that one? Oh, okay. I won't preach it again. But the Word of God has a voice. I found that out after reading the Bible for many years. I read that scripture one, doesn't it? Hearkening unto the voice of His Word. The Bible's got a voice that speaks to us. God's Word has a voice. And Psalm 103 and verse 20 tells us that. Anyhow, the original Hebrew word translated as hearken in Psalm 103 verse 20 carries the meaning of hearing intelligently and attentively with the implication of obedience. It also has the meaning of carefully considering, discerning, giving ear to, obeying, perceiving and understanding. That's what hearken means, that Bible word, that's the meanings that it carries. Let me assure you that none of these things would even take place if our whole purpose for sticking to a yearly Bible program is about proving how many times we can read it through in 1 year. You won't be able to hearken under the voice of God's Word, my friend, if you're speed reading the thing. As well, audio Bibles are good, and I do use Alexander Scobie's King James version of the audio Bible myself for the right occasions. I do use that now and again. But I discovered that it's not really appropriate when I want to stop and think a bit about what I've just heard and read along to on the screen. So he's reading along, and this thing's going along in automatic, right? And there's something there, oh, it's interesting, but, oh, just go on. It's not really appropriate for Bible study. The opportunity to hearken and carefully consider and to perceive and understand what was just said by the speaker is many times lost as he continues on to the next verse. And we say, well, I'll just keep listening and I won't go back to hear what was that he said, you see. So it's good to hear the spoken word of God, but in my experience, to really have the opportunity to pause and meditate upon what the scripture is saying, having the written word of God in front of me gives far better results than having to press the stop button and rewind the audio back. If you're studying, it might be okay just casually listening to the Bible as you're driving along in the car, right? You're not doing serious Bible study. But an audio Bible is no good for study, my friends. No good at all. You don't want to be pressing buttons and all this sort of thing. Have a Bible in front of you, a written word of God. Amen. Most appropriate. God gave us His written word. He didn't give us all these mobile screens, you know. Now, that's all part of technology today. But let's think about technology. Let's think about technology. We live in the days of the end. When all this technology has been designed for a purpose. You heard my messages on the 1940s, the fig tree generation. You'll understand about computer technology. What's it all about? It's all about bringing in the circumstances where one world government, one world religious system, one world money system, and an antichrist who can know what every person on the planet is up to. That's what computerization is all about. God allowed it to be developed, but the devil is using it for his purpose, all right? So computer screens are okay, but God gave us a book. In the Proverbs, we are told that God has wisdom in His Word that can only be found if we prayerfully and patiently seek for it, like prospectors searching for silver and hidden treasures. If we truly are seeking after godly knowledge and understanding, then it is our responsibility to search for those treasures and dig them out. And let's read about that in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. If we truly are seeking after godly knowledge and understanding, then it is our responsibility to search for those treasures and dig them out. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 5 says, "My son," my son is talking to girls too, all right? Girls, listen. Okay, it's for girls and boys. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." There you go. We've got to go and search for it. Dig it out, my friends. I started out tonight's message with Proverbs 1:7-33, where we have read that verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." I also mentioned Proverbs 9 and verse 10, where we further read that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. In verse 5 of Proverbs chapter 2, we've just read that we will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God if we will not only hear God's word with our ears, but if we will go on to receive God's word and hide His commandments in our heart. If we will incline our ears to hear God's word and then apply what we hear to our hearts, then we will understand what the fear of the Lord is. So in summary and in closing, we've looked at three things that are required of anyone who intends to rightly interpret and understand not just the Proverbs, but all of the Scriptures. Firstly, the person must have been truly born again of the Spirit of God. You have to be born again of the Spirit, all right? Secondly, the person must have a desire to obey God. And thirdly, the person is not to speed read the Scriptures, but to diligently study and meditate upon what the Scriptures say. That's what we've looked at tonight, all right? That's a summary. So perhaps we need to imitate the prayer of King David in Psalm 119, verses 10 and 11, where he said to God, "With my whole heart I have sought thee. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let not me wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." That kind of attitude leads to a right fear of God and a right understanding of His word. The ultimate goal of reading the Scriptures in the first place is to know what God requires of us in order that we might live our lives in a godly manner that pleases Him. Is that what it's about? That's what it's about. Let that be our goal as we look forward to serving God in this coming week. All right? Let's pray. Closing prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the instruction that we've received from it tonight. and what we can learn from it. We pray, Lord, that as we leave this place tonight, that what we've heard and learnt will become part of us, Lord, and that we will be changed a little bit into something we weren't before, Lord. We do pray that as we determine in our hearts, Lord, not just to read your word and think we know what it says, Lord, but we're to study it. When we see what you tell us to do, we become doers of that, Lord. And your promise in your word is that you will bless us for that. And Lord, we do pray that as we, as saved people, as we read your word, that your Holy Spirit will continue to guide us. And you tell us in your word that you sent your Holy Spirit to bring conviction upon our hearts, but also to lead us and guide us into truth, Lord. So we pray that as we continue to look in your word as saved people, Lord, that we would understand what it is you're trying to say to us, and that we would apply those things not only just to our heart, Lord, but to the way we live and the way we live in our community and demonstrate our Christian living in front of the unsaved, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.